This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And we're joined by none other than Mr. Jack Pelton. Nobody knows who he is, though.
No, not at all. Nobody's ever heard of him, you know.
He came with groupies.
Some guy just wandered in the studio and said, hey, let's get an interview going.
Yep. So anyway, the chairman of EAA, head of EAA, Big Mahoff.
The big cheese, top dog.
Yeah, top dog, numero uno. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm here because I smelled the bacon. That's the whole reason.
Wasn't even ours. Yeah. Oh, no, actually, she was cooking bacon.
It was, yeah. Andrew was back there with breakfast.
Had some good bacon back there.
Oh, yes.
Which is, part of the charm of AirVenture.
Yeah, the aroma, the odors, the people, the smells, all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
Not all of them are from the food. Some of them are from the people. But we won't go into that now.
Well, that's why they make showers here, and they're good.
They worked wonders last night, that's for sure. So this is going to be an interesting year. This will be the first year without Paul Pobrezny around, and that's kind of a sad fact, but
it is. And we're really lucky that we got to see him last year running around in Red One, and we knew eventually we all get old and pass on. But first year without Paul, but this year we're really celebrating Paul's legacy, and we've done a lot to do that. We had a great ceremony last night at the memorial wall with his wife and family. To dedicate his name on the memorial wall, which was his vision to be able to do that. And it was just a beautiful evening with a missing man formation. But during the week at our Welcome Center, we've created a tribute to Paul that you can walk through, and it's a timeline from the early days up until today with what we call Paulisms. And his famous quotes are captured on a year-by-year basis. And people, I think when you hear that, you think, oh, am I just going to go in and hear some funny or interesting comment by Paul? But it really tells the story. He talks about what our culture is all about, what EA means to him, what AirVenture is about, and even the issues of fighting to get the experimental home built regulations through the FAA, what the 51% rule is, and those kinds of details. So you go in there and you find yourself absorbed, spending a lot of time reading, looking, reflecting, and it's really worth the visit.
Do you think that we'll see like a rededication of EAA to that culture and spirit?
I think we're seeing it this week. This is what it's all about. And really that rededication started at 8:00 this morning. I had a chance to go kick off the 1 week wonder, which over on Four Corners is packed with people. And it's our recreating what Paul did years ago of building a home built aircraft during the duration of the show. And back then they did, I think, in 9 days, and we're doing it in 7. Zenith Aircraft has donated a kit and Aircraft Spruce and Dynon and Rotex have all provided the parts, and we've got great volunteers organizing it. And we dropped the flag at 8:00. The crates open. They're at it. I mean, pieces are getting built. And by the end of the week, you're going to see an airplane ready to fly. And I think that really is the symbolic recreation, because we have a problem of people not believing that they can get involved in aviation. And here we're going to show them that you can get involved by building, by supporting or volunteering, and at the end of the day, by flying at a price point that you can't achieve with a current OEM manufactured airplane. They're just too darn expensive.
Yeah, even an older one.
Even an older one, yeah. And here you go. You're going to have something that performs well, has great fuel burn, and give you that freedom of flying and doing recreational flying, which is what we're all about.
My thinking has always been, even if I could afford an older airplane, I couldn't afford the yearly maintenance, the annuals, all that kind of stuff. As a home builder, you are your own inspection mechanic and such. That's a huge benefit.
Huge, yeah, absolutely a huge benefit. And actually, the characteristics of these airplanes are really unique in what they're capable of doing and how efficient they are. And also, I'd be remiss to not mention part of the resurgence also is what we've done on the grounds. We have rededicated the home build area, and we're on phase one of multi-phase construction project. We tore down an old building, put in a new grass area, hoping to expand and make that more of a centerpiece for the show.
Now, let's go just slightly off topic. You were chairman and board of Cessna for years.
Yes.
So you saw the factory-built side of the picture. Now you're involved with the home-built side of the picture. You see how much the home-builts have re-energized the manufacturing sectors and reinvigorated that whole process?
Well, my dad and I built a home-built back in the 70s, so I've been around it my whole life. I think, kind of looking back at having been on the manufacturer side, as much as we wouldn't want to admit it, being a manufacturer, if it weren't for the home builds, I'm not sure where GA would be today. If you look at the last 10 years of the number of airplanes that have been registered, the home built side is far greater than the manufacturer side. And that's a message we need to get out.
Yeah, plus I think the home build side is responsible for pushing the technology forward.
Oh, clearly. I mean, if you look at what's happening with the glass cockpits and all of the digital information you can get in an airplane, that's absolutely being driven by the experimental home built market, and it's being recognized by not only the manufacturers but the FAA, to where they're saying there's all these great features that are going to help people be safer and provide better information and you know, have better utilitarian capabilities in the home built market. How do we get those into the manufacturer side, or how do we tweak the rules to allow that to happen?
Well, the one thing that has always intrigued me is how the FAA comes to the EAA for recommendations and everything, especially when it came to the light sport aircraft. Is EAA going to continue taking a leading role in the advancement of aviation?
Oh, we definitely are. Our advocacy arm is critically important, and we have an agenda of many, many topics that we're working on with the FAA that we want to move forward. I mean, the first and most important that we're going to hope to hear some good news this week is from on the medical exemption, which would allow pilots in certain categories of airplanes to be able to not have to have a third-class medical, that they could do it with a self-assessment and a driver's license. And, you know, you go out to the campground, you look at some of these 60-foot motorhomes that are more complex than an airplane to drive, and anybody can drive. You know, you don't have to even have a special license for it. So in the recreation market, that's happening. So we're moving that forward, and then we're moving forward with different new categories of airplane certifications. We're looking at what we can do to improve the ultralight market as far as getting regulations. The electric airplanes, I mean, the FAA does not know what to do with an electric airplane, how to certify it.
Yeah, they don't know how to class that, that's for sure.
No, and yet that technology's coming. I mean, you can go out on the site today and see, you know, different innovative designs that are out there, and we as EAA are going to work with making sure that those regulations get in place.
Well, I think the other thing they're having trouble with is the possibility of these very small jets. The subsonic, Salto jet glider, they don't know what to do with those either.
They don't. I mean, and if it weren't for EAA, I don't know how that stuff would get push through. I mean, you look at the UAV world and they're kind of stymied because there's no association or organization to get it done. And that's our charter. Our charter is to make recreational flying available to people, and we're hard at it.
Well, you know, we've had a very interesting year in aviation, to put it mildly. And you just touched on a subject. I fly radio control model airplanes as well. And UAVs, also known as quadcopters, the general public knows them as drones. The FAA is starting to step in on some of this stuff, and I know that the EAA is working with the AMA and AOPA. Do you see the partnership between the three of them getting stronger over the years?
We do. I mean, we've kind of rekindled the AOPA partnership, and you'll see that here on the show, where they are no longer having their own conventions. They're actually doing it here on an annual basis. But AMA is the real key partnership, because that has multi facets for us. It has the recreational side. I, like you, fly RC airplanes. When I look at my history, you know, I start out flying very young, you get married, you have kids, you buy a house, you have no money, you love airplanes, you know, you find a way to stay involved, so you do it through modeling. Get your kids involved in it, and then eventually get back to where you're flying again. So AMA is very important, because we think it's part of the glue that helps bring young people and keep them retained in aviation.
Well, a lot of today's innovators started out flying model airplanes. A prime example, Burt Rutan.
Absolutely. That's a great example. Our partnership is, we all agree that from 400 feet and below, that airspace should be modeling airspace, and it's not a problem for general aviation. It's the drone issue. You start getting up higher, it becomes far more complex.
Right.
Yeah.
But for a hobbyist like myself, I have a 200 QX sitting over at the campsite. That shouldn't be an issue that the FAA should be concerned with.
No. And, you know, I had dinner last night with one of our exhibitors who owns Avidyne Avionics. I mean, they're a big company. He has his quadcopter here. I'm trying to remember which. I think it's the Panther with a camera on it. And he's all excited because he wants to get it up there and take a picture of people in his booth.
Me too.
That's exactly what he wants to do, too.
I want to get aerial photographs, a video of Camp Scholler.
Dan is also a board member, and he said, guys, we got to deal. We got to recognize this, deal with it, accept it, and make it part of the whole scene here. I mean, what could be better than, you know, downloading and streaming your video? And he has a great demonstration of it. He had a family picnic, and his niece got a kite stuck up in a tree. It's a 50-foot tree, and she's going up there to get it out. And he's got his quadcopter, you know, capturing the moment, eyeball to eyeball. They're showing me on his phone last night. So that's pretty cool.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's just, you know, the thing we have to be concerned with is making sure that the public is educated. Otherwise, we get knee-jerk reactions from
Or we get regulations written by people who are not familiar with the field at all.
Right. And that's, you know, we got to keep the recreational side of it. There's that whole other, you know, where people think you're spying on people and other things, which is just not what this is all about. This is no different than taking your home movies.
Right.
Exactly. And it's a lot of fun. I've seen some great aerial footage of say, a go-kart race at a track, and that was just fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to dive into a quadcopter when this event's over. I've just been too busy the last 3 months.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I know, I will.
They fly great.
All right, sir. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Jack Pelton, chairman of the board. It says right there on this plaque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. This is EAA Radio.